This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Do You Need a Ride? My name's Chris Fairbanks.
And I'm Karen Kilgara.
Okay, in the room.
Let's pretend this is a car.
Yeah. I was going to bring I couldn't find it, but I did make a cardboard cutout of a 57 Chevy.
Oh, that great.
In seventh grade, I sang Little Old Lady from Pasadena from behind a cutout of a classic car.
And you still have that?
It was a big hit. I had a girlfriend up until high school because of that performance.
Because of one? Mm-hmm. Was it a talent show?
That I don't remember. I hope that they asked
I
us
I just
to
caught
do
you in a lie, didn't I?
No. I very much lip-synced to Little Old Lady from Pasadena.
From, like, so then there was a cardboard cutout of a car in front of you?
Yeah, and I had, like, a handle on it, and I was having it float like it was a boat. Hank, Hank.
So yes. The car was moving as you were lip-syncing?
It was stationary, but I gave it motion. So
it was moving while you were stationed.
If behind me there were things passing, it would all the elements would then be there. But
hey, boat moves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. This is you're used to this. You're used to
this is just my whole life now.
Yeah.
This podcast festival.
Podcasting in front of people. I've never done this, and it's funny because I kind of feel nervous. Because I've done stand up in front of people, but
this is so different.
It feels like I'm back in improv class.
Okay, well, why don't you get up on your feet right now and give me three examples of an employee.
Yeah, just a non-geographical location. That means just not a place on a map or on your lap. How about on your lap? We're going to go with that. Thank you. You guys don't need to say anything. And you're a playmate.
How about
and go. Oh, God, I miss it.
I'm a playmate sitting on my own lap.
Yeah.
And scene.
I like the suggestions to already, like when people hear it, they're like, well, I feel like I already watched the scene. It's just a lady on a lap.
Yes. What more do you need?
Two things that belong together.
Ladies?
And laps, right? They belong together. Hey, ladies and laps.
If you've ever seen Cinemax, you know that ladies and laps go together.
Mm-hmm.
I put a certain kind of hand lotion on. There's a certain, you don't know about this, there's a certain kind of intense hand lotion ladies use that's almost like it's Vaseline, we're pretending it's not. We're pretending it's like aromatic or organic in some way. It's just grease. And
it sounds like you're describing a salve.
It might be a balm or a salve. Salve?
Yeah, I only have experience with it. We used to put it on horse hooves on the ranch. But your hands look great.
This isn't like that. But if you, it's pretty much for your, like, nails and all your, like, really dry parts. But I just went ahead and rubbed it all over my arms. So now I look a bit like an exotic dancer from just in the arm area. I don't claim to look that way in
any
way.
There is an unexplained gloss to you.
Well, it's now my podcasting glow.
Get that lap ready.
Honk, honk.
It's weird that you suggest that I don't know about lotions, because I use all kinds of lotions.
Like what? Let's name some.
Alpha Hydroxy and Neutrogena. There's an SPF in there. Not enough to matter, but it's something. And
enough to pretend.
It's funny. I've been putting it on. I keep making the same mistake. I'll apply it to my face, and then I go to bar class where I then sweat and acid goes into my eyeballs.
Time to get a headband.
Yeah. Oh, I wear one anyway.
Chris, guys, I think you must know this. And if you don't, if you're here just for funsies, hi.
Hi.
This is Do You Need a Ride? The podcast. Thanks.
Originally, we would take comics and drive them to and or from the, or just one, or from the airport and record in the car.
And then it became so that we could not go to LAX anymore because we hated it so much.
I think we almost killed Eddie Pepitone, right?
Yes, yes. Just with bad vibes.
There was a close call. I don't even think he knew, but it's like, well, that could have been bad. Let's close up shop. We almost lost all inventory.
Do we have the recording? Okay, we're fine.
Okay,
then let's
good.
Never do it again. Then we switch to a studio. This part doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, if you listen, you know that Chris had an entire hip replaced. And so because of that, you cheer for Chris's new hip.
It's funny.
It's brand new. Do you want to show it off a little bit?
I mean.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sore because Greg, who we're going to bring out in a minute, during walking the room, we were talking about my hip, and I sprinted around as fast as I... And I was able... I can run... As fast
Prove
as
it.
I could, I think. Well, here's the thing. I'm very sore from that.
Just from that
exhibition.
Run?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, that felt great, and then the next getting out of bed, I had to do the old use your pants to move your body.
The old ventriloquist dummy.
It's like a weekend of Bernie's, but it's just Bernie.
Oh, you're moving your own Bernie. That is you. Sorry. Well, but I guess I was teeing all that up because in an extended physical therapy situation, mm-hmm. Chris is now taking a ladies' bar class.
Mostly ladies. Thank you. It's a very popular sport. I call it a sport. But everything that was my therapy, which was rubber bands and sidekicks and slow, concentrated little moves. That's what bar method. Someone told me that, and then I went, and I'm like, this is my home. And then I just got to make sure not to look at it, because I feel like a weirdo being the only dude. But I think it's been great.
They love it.
Yeah, it's
I'm
fine.
Sure they do.
It's fine.
You're fun. You have great hair. They can kind of look over at you every once in a while and then, like, tighten their core.
I'm looking at everyone else because I don't know what to do, so I'm not... It's like, I'm not checking out all of your... they're so in shape.
Yes.
Just ladies doing 20 slow push... like, little push-ups like that. Knees aren't on the ground. This is a new era.
We call it the G.I. Jane era.
We call it me feeling so weak. But I feel great. Yeah, it's really working. I feel great. My mood has improved. Look how happy I am. If you knew me a year ago, I probably would have punched you.
Chris was in constant pain, but still fun to podcast with, I'll tell you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're fun, too.
Thanks.
That's the only time I give compliments is when I'm deflecting them back.
Because they're so painful to engage with.
Hard to receive, hard to give.
I hear you. I hear you. We're all here to learn to withstand the light of love or something. Marianne Williamson said that.
Living in its grace.
That wasn't mine.
Was your mom like this, too, where if someone complimented her, she would say, oh, bullshit.
Yes.
Like someone's like, your hair looks great today. No, it doesn't. It's terrible. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, this is what my mom would do, compliment me.
I really like that shirt.
Oh, this thing? I got it at Penny's. She always had the perfect reason why your compliment was incorrect.
Yeah. And somehow...
I found it in a drawer. Okay, sorry I fucking brought it up.
This? What are you, blind?
This?
Ooh, sorry.
What are you, a member of the bourgeoisie? I always tell stories about my mom and make her sound like she was a drag queen. She's going like, get out of here. But she had a very
unless you're going to work it.
Get out of the kitchen. I'm bringing the heat. I'm with Pat.
We'll bring out Greg in a minute.
Okay.
I just have to tell you, I went to last minute invited to a lobster feast last night. They do everything you say. And I had three lobsters. It was fun. I didn't know any. My neighbor friend, the woman that lives across from me, she had a ticket. It was an event ticket that I had with a barcode. But I went to a house, and there was a weird. It just was a vibe. First of all, I'm used to going to comedy parties where I'm the oldest, and this is a thing where I was like, oh, I'm the kid. But it was guys rubbing their friends' wives' shoulders and stuff. It had a weird vibe.
A lobster vibe.
Yeah. I mean, I had three lobsters to myself.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was insane. And then my friend said...
You're like a fucking walrus.
My friend said the last time we were here, there was a tarp and no one explained it. And then these ladies came out and they were naked and they were on the tarp. And then we were asked to leave because we weren't invited for that part. I'm like, we're at a swinging orgy?
Invited for like the first half of a party a different party.
You aren't here for fucking... Hit the bricks.
You know what? Swingers are so fucking rude.
It's judgmental.
Like, if you have people over, they're there. You don't get to cancel mid-party and be like, sorry, we're super horny. Me and everyone I fucking know on this tarp.
You were just here to soak in the hot tub. Now get.
Get out. Get out so we can fuck.
And it's never a good sign when there's a tarp and you show up to a place.
I don't think so.
You're either going to get whacked or whacked or... One time at church camp, I used to volunteer.
Is this an orgy story from church camp? I hate those.
Oh, man, that pastor was quirky. He was, though. He put down a tarp, and then they put down bananas, and all the kids were blindfolded.
Nope.
Bananas, they were already started, and you, with your mouth... I didn't... Yeah, they ate... Bananas are kind of gross, right? They all trigger everyone's gag reflexes, right? There's strings on them. First time you see someone open their mouth with banana in there, you're like, fuck, I don't know if I like Earth. It was... And this kid, I remember him kicking around, like spinning like one of the stooges, and he was eating bananas, and then he just threw up everywhere, and I looked at the pastor, and he was like going... I'm like, Pastor Wayne, you're laughing at this kid's vomiting.
Sorry. The tarp goes down.
The tarp goes down.
They unpeel some bananas.
I was thinking, this is overkill just for some banana residue to have a whole tarp. Wayne knew he was going to vomit.
That's his kink. He was looking for child banana vomit. That fucking pervert. Kids had to, without their hands, eat the banana?
That, I can't remember. Yeah, I think you were... Well, this seems weird. It was a Presbyterian church. It's the one from a river runs through it.
They're the worst ones, those Presbyterians.
Yeah, they tell you, oh, we're just going fishing.
Check out those Catholics. Hands, hands, hands.
Why is it dark? Banana.
Banana.
Banana. Banana.
Strictly banana.
Yeah, it's only bananas getting shoved in there. But, and he threw up, and then I saw Wayne a few years later on the beach. We were walking, and... the footsteps next to me were my friend. I was with a friend. And Ross and I, he's my friend. And we're in like Newport Beach, Oregon. And Wayne came walking on the beach. We're like, you're Wayne. You were our pastor. Are you at a church here now? He's like, yeah, I'm not into it. I do family counseling now.
Oh.
Yeah, he, you know, if you...
And then you look down and there was a broken handcuff on one wrist. Yeah. Wayne, let's see that counseling certificate, could we?
And a peeled banana in the other. Should we bring out our friend?
Let's do that.
Let's
for
do
sure.
it. Everyone loves him. Put your hands together for our very good friend, Greg Barrett.
Woo!
Everyone loves him.
Should we shit over?
Hey, Greg.
Shift on over?
Was
oh,
it?
Look.
Here, again.
Is that for me?
Oh, wow.
Thank what, you.
God, that's the most accommodating boiler room. There's just Starbucks down in the...
Hello?
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Do I sit behind you?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Fucking car joke right out of the mouth. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on your program.
Thanks for bringing me an iced coffee.
I didn't know if you guys were coming to get me or not.
I waited for a while.
Do you come to the curb?
It occasionally
pull up
cuts
over
out.
There.
Cuts. But it sounds better, right? Yesterday
it does sound
I was on his, pod program. And,
right.
And
I liked at the beginning of the show, you said, you know, I have never done a live podcast. And I thought, fuck, you were on ours Friday. And then I went, you're right. You have never done a live podcast. So this has got to be fucking good for you. Good for
you.
This is what a podcast feels like.
Well,
that's exactly right. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you so much.
I meant starting one. It's that whole moment, like, that I still, after 17 years of doing stand-up, where you have to pull the mic out of the mic stand and put the mic stand to the side. It's humiliating. And
yeah.
It feels awful and you're vulnerable and they're like, oh, that wasn't very professional mic dismount. But it's the starting of a show that is hard for me. That's what I meant.
Is it always humiliating to you to take a mic out of a mic stand?
Well, my hands always shake. Like anytime I'm reading something, a piece of paper's flapping. It's like, well, everyone knows.
Wow, you spent so much time there in your head.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever think about it. Like, the fact that you're like, no, that whole moment. They're taking it out. Like, you've fucked through the whole process, and you do not enjoy it.
I'm there.
What do you think's happening with them? Do you think during that part they're like, nope, I didn't like that. That's not the way you pull it out.
That is how I think that they're judging every move I make.
Greg, you gave me a prank coffee. This coffee just spilled itself all over me.
Yeah. That's hilarious, right?
Oh,
yeah,
is that,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, they're, God.
They're from the podcast festival. Their podcast festival. Yeah, they're prank coffees for live podcasting. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Oh,
I can't.
It's just so funny.
Regular coffees, and then they give you sewing needles, and you poke the side of the cup.
Oh, that's
fun. Look, mine does it, too.
And then I light yours on fire. Let's call this hot coffee.
Fuck, I left the tarp back at my house.
Yeah,
I like a tarp party. Just if you laid the tarp out, then whatever happens happens, and I get to be there for the whole tarp.
Yeah,
you're on
you
board.
You don't get to just decide I'm half tarp. If you're tarp, and I'm already there, you can't make me leave, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I think in that situation, get belligerent, grab something, a big piece of furniture, and just be like, I'm not fucking leaving, and you can't make me leave.
No, you could have had a tarp party without me. You didn't have to bring the tarp out now, because now the tarp's out, and I'm like, why would I go?
Yeah.
This is the only reason to come to your house, really.
Yeah, you're trying to be withholding with your tarp sex.
What do you think when there's a tarp? You go to a place and there's a tarp. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm in an Episcopalian church.
Sure.
And bananas are going to come out. That was weird. Before video games or toys of any kind, like when I was a kid, people did shit like that. Like, here's a tarp and some bananas. Go. There you go. Make up a game. Here's some blocks and a couple of knives. Figure out.
Yeah, my first toy was my dad. He cut 2x4s into different shapes. Didn't sand them or anything. And it was a little game I called Splinter Time.
Yeah. The world was not set up for kids at all when we were kids. They were like, literally, like, there's a box outside. You know, go play in the refrigerator box. And you're like, oh, that thing closes. And then that's it.
Yeah. I actually have a very distinct memory of being very, very young, probably like 5, jumping on the bed while drinking cough syrup. Totally alone. It was grape cough syrup. And I would jump on the bed and then take a break and take like 4 swigs, put it back. I remember jumping on the bed.
I remember that from like 20 months ago.
I mean... I was 5. Was I home alone? Did someone put out all of the pharmaceuticals in the house and then be like, we'll be back in 15 minutes?
I mean, if you were roboing, which is what it's called when you drink a bunch of Robitussin, I don't know if you've...
Is that true?
Yeah, roboing. Let's robo.
Don't say it like I'm supposed to know it, because that's insane.
Great.
That's awesome.
Let's robo. You know what that means, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you just explained it.
Yeah. But a few
minutes before.
We all heard
I
you.
Didn't, I've done it even, but I didn't know what I didn't have a.
I can never remember who is and who isn't a juggalo. I'm sorry.
It's hard. It is hard now.
We're both
they
in.
Play sides of the fence, so it's getting weird.
Yeah.
There's tons of them.
It is. I love that they're doing that.
Getting into politics.
Now, what's up with magnets?
How do they work?
That's for like 10, 5, 3 to 10 people. How was your murder podcast? Did you do that yesterday?
You talk about another podcast during your podcast. How was your other podcast?
We're
was
not
that
dinner.
To replay some of it?
So what
I've
you
got
do
some walking
morning?
In the room on the phone if you want to just really
just
bring it down.
It?
If you want to bring it down.
Oh yeah, great. Do you want, why don't instead we talk about our
Breaker
guest's
19.
Podcast? You just did the first walking the room after how long? Years?
After no, just a year. It wasn't even like, oh, it's been so long. It was like, no, it was just last podcast festival and the one before that, and then in Australia. This is the fifth final one we've did. I thought we were done and felt, having not talked to Dave, we must be done. And then he called me up and he said, you want to do it again? And I was like, oh, yeah. And he goes, well, this is it. Like it
that'll teach you to answer the phone.
Felt like I just got spanked. But then he said I could bring my other podcast, which I did in upstairs, which was fun. And
what's the name of that one?
It's called Rock Out With Your Doc Out. And it's a rock documentary podcast where Kay Hanley and I talk about rock documentaries. I couldn't be happier.
Can you occasionally talk about boating?
Yes, yes.
That's what I think. When
yes,
I say,
rock exactly.
out with your dock out.
Yes,
it's
and
like,
sometimes we...
To dry the propeller, you have to rock
right.
out with your dock out.
With your dock out, you got to have it, because otherwise, if it's in, the boat has no place to go. Yeah. So we go to different docks.
Rising water levels.
Like we were in Tahoe a couple weekends ago, and we count them sometimes.
And then once a year, you change it, and it's a very special episode where it's rock out in dock out. And
well,
you just
that
talk
one
about
is
the most
and that one's
parts
tough.
Of World War II.
Rockout and Dachau is tough.
It's a tough one. You only do it once a year.
Yeah.
I nervously laugh when I don't have any idea what a reference means. I'm like, Dachau.
It's best.
It's home for me as well.
I do it with Kay Hanley, who's the lead singer of Letters to Cleo.
Yes.
So, yep. She's
here and now. And here and now. Digga digga bigga digga bigga digga 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 digga.
That's exactly how it went. For years they didn't have guitars. For years they didn't have the money for guitars, and you did it exactly like that.
It was me going digga 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 digga.
Hard to watch. It was like bad jazz improv is bad, but bad rock scatting.
Hard to watch.
Nobody wants
to listen.
No one wants that.
It's hard.
Rock scatting.
Yeah. So that was my. But the walk in the room was poorly recorded and sort of unwieldy. And Dave talked about his other podcast.
Right.
And that's, I think what you do is you go on a podcast and talk about the podcast that you have that's doing better.
Like in any podcast. Breakup, you're just like, well, I'm doing great now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Membership to Equinox and.
I was at Curbs for a while. And then that wasn't the right place to be.
Yeah, you're speaking to the choir there.
Is that where you
ladies.
Go to Curbs?
It's a specialized facility.
Yeah.
For women.
For women. And me.
I think you should actually, the next time you go to your bar method class, you should put on a pair of transition lenses.
They are so
picture
creepy.
It.
They are so, when you want, you're like a normal guy outside just wearing sunglasses, and then you come into the room and the tint starts, and then at that midpoint, you are a sex offender.
You're a sex offender.
They're the creepiest.
Where it's
in transition.
Right. So just
no
in
offense.
that middle area where it
yes.
could be like
yeah.
a.
It's brownish gray.
Yeah, right. It looks lavendery or maybe
yeah.
even like a.
Very
yeah.
70s.
You turn to go in a room and one of the lenses is a lighter tint. It's like, fucking Jack,
I like
you
that.
Want me to.
I like that.
Show you where schools are? I am. I don't like transition lenses, and you know that about me.
I liked Karen. I just wanted to bring it back to this. I loved in your imitation of your mother, you imitate her saying, you're like, oh, I like your blouse. And she's like, oh, this little thing I got at JCPenney. And then you're like, fuck you then. Like, your your reaction to her seems to be the one we should be looking at.
I like, knew you'd like, say
oh,
that.
Oh, you're all like
you're
this.
You're always
but
on
you
her
really,
side.
I love your mom. I always loved your mom. And your dad. I love both of them. They are. But, yeah, you really, boy. You're giving it to her. She's, and I know because I had a sister. It's like, fuck, let her have a, give her a break. Holy shit,
she
she's
doesn't
just your
deserve
mom.
A break.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? As you look back and in your childhood, your mom does stuff like gets a lovely compliment from a person and then swats it down like a fucking feral cat. And in your mind, you're like, that's the way you receive compliments. Mm. Then you continue on in life and you suffer the consequences of having a bad personality because of that. And then you suddenly one day realize, oh, I do this because she fucking did it all my life.
Yeah.
Karen, your personality wasn't bad. It was just work.
Yeah.
When I met Karen, I thought she was so fucking good. I saw her perform before I met her, and I came up to her, and I was like, you're fucking awesome. And she didn't talk to me for like 4 years and stared at me every time we were at a place like, you fucking asshole.
Because she can't take a compliment.
Yeah.
You told me that when you met me, and I was like, oh, man, this guy's my new best friend.
Right? Yeah. Oh, you opened with you can't take a compliment on Chris?
No, no.
He no, just I started, complimented him.
He complimented me, and I was like, yeah, keep him coming. Yeah.
We're different.
What else do you like about me, friend? He took me on the road. He took me all these. I used to open for Greg all the time. It was so fun.
Yeah.
You're fun. Do you, are you doing stand-up lately?
No.
Why not? I'd love it if you did.
No, I do. I do. Actually, that's, no, I've been doing it a little bit, but
I think you should do it more.
I think I
will. He's real good at it. If
all right,
guys
I'll do it right now.
Yeah, here we go.
Just do.
Nothing could be worse. Please nothing
do,
could be worse.
Just do Spider-Man. Just do.
Spider-Man?
I always do that. I tell you to do that one, and then I
and
just
then
set
the punchline. Yeah.
Damn it. Do it anyway.
So...
Dude,
I got it.
Do lady
it's my
laugh.
First joke.
Do lady laugh.
I think this is my very first joke. I said I live in San Francisco. I got to stand up for this.
Yes.
And then I got to stand like I used to with my legs.
And we'll be the people like on BET that are just for some reason on stage looking at your ass.
We all lived in the Bay Area, and I would say when I was in San Francisco, I'd say, hey, if you're visiting and you're looking for some male company, if that's your thing. The way to recognize a male prostitute is if you're coming down the street and you see a guy standing up against a wall and he's got one leg up, like this, that's a male prostitute. Likewise, if you're coming down the street and you see a guy has both legs up like that, Spider-Man. And how did he get here? And why is he for sale?
Do you see why?
They would jump out right after that. Any tag for that, they'd be like, that's enough. The joke was barely good. No, tag it. Don't tag it.
It's still wonderful 30 yeah. years.
Thank you. Thank
it's the
you.
Best. That's why when you, after doing a set of jokes, chock full of jokes like that, you came to compliment me, and then I was like, he's making fun of me somehow. I have to get away.
Yeah.
That was always my thought process. I'm being mocked.
No, I am that way a little. I just believed him when he said it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But I'm like you also.
But I don't like any other two comics. I don't like any other comics. Dave a little bit. That's it.
No, other than I like other,
but do you,
just
yeah,
us?
Yeah, just you two.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That's it. Do you watch much comedy?
No.
I have been lately.
Stand-up comedy? Yeah. No.
Yeah. Do you?
Lately, I have been enjoying it. I've gone to shows where I'm not even involved, and I kind of...
Really?
People are getting good at it. You know?
But they've been getting good at it for too long.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
I thought you meant watch it on TV.
Or just at all. Like, do you... Yeah, I mean, I did mean, do you... Like, do you pursue it as a thing you do? Like, I'm going to go watch some stand-up, or I want to watch stand-up. Like, do you ever have that thing of, like, God, I would love to watch stand-up. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Only live, and only if it's people I know that I like.
Right. And only if you also happen to be there because you're performing.
That's right. And only if someone's asking me for my autograph.
Yep.
Right. No. Actually, last night it was so fun because it was everybody doing the stand-up show. So it was like me and Aaron Foley and Graham Elwood and Jackie Cation and Paul Gill. Like, we all just got to stand back there in this group. And we're never, like, that many people usually aren't on a show together. Like, it was so fun. And then everyone, it was just, like, the best crowd. So everyone had this comfort level. Maren was on it. He was amazing. It was just, like, everything felt like it was way up here. And then you're just like, yeah, this is the best part. But It's so rarely like that. Usually, it's like you and one other person.
Do you think that everyone wanted to do well and even had more fun or did it differently because they're among their peers? I've always wanted to make other comics laugh. To a fault, I'm, not. I think I'm better at, trying to convince other comics that I'm funny than I am audiences, and there isn't a big living to be made with that.
Unless you're Andy Kindler. He's milked that.
He has milked that.
He is very rich.
But is that why everyone was having fun? It's like,
yeah, and I think they didn't. They knew there would be no work to be had because everyone in the room is, is super into comedy, a comedy specialist, probably a comic themselves in some way. So there was just this comfort where everyone was like, I'm just going to just hang out. As opposed to, you're at the improv. You could get yelled at by a person from Covina. There's all these, those things you have to always be ready for.
West Covina.
Ugh. Those people.
Yeah. West Covina. Covina, you're okay.
Yeah,
Covina.
Like, at least
they're quieter.
I'm in proper.
Yeah, they've got they've got a small mall there with an Anthropology. But you get out into West Covina, and that is... There's not even a Chipotle there.
They're grumpy because the sun sets a little later there.
It does. Yeah. All right.
What's your first joke you ever did, Karen? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Karen Kilgariff, everyone. Karen Kilgariff, everyone.
I used to talk a lot about working at the Gap. So when I started stand-up in San Francisco, Greg was, I always like to say he was you were a sophomore to my freshman, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Sophomore to my freshman.
Yeah.
And I worked at the Gap during the day, and then I would go do sets at night. And
we wore uniforms, too. We it was a Catholic.
Our comedy uniforms?
We wore comedy uniforms. They were Catholic comedy uniforms.
And there was a locker, in the movie Punchline, at the end of your set.
Yep.
You put your polka dot bow tie in there.
And there was a hallway, for some reason.
Just a long hallway for people to fight.
Yeah, people shoved each other. Marin used to smoke.
Marin was always on a stool somewhere, smoking.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I had a joke that was it was something about working at the Gap, and it was so I have to work at the Gap, and I stand at the front, and I'm like, hi, welcome to the Gap. Well, socks are on sale today. I do a little speech. People love it when you recite a whole speech of jargon, and then at the end of that speech, and then I'm like, and people are like, oh, you're so nice. Do you work here? And I say, oh, no, I'm just talking this way so I don't start crying. Something like that.
I remember
did my
that.
Mom voice.
I remember that.
That was my closer.
I remember that.
I've never heard that.
That was just a piece of the Gap chunk. It went on and on.
I think mine...
Get up there!
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Let's just keep doing this until the time is up.
Yeah, until we do all of our jokes.
I already... Wait a minute, go ahead. I'm not going to stop.
No.
I have a point to make already. No, go. I want to see you. I saw you very early on in your career, and I fucking chased you down like there was something wrong with me.
You're the reason...
You were sitting on a stool at the time for a minute, and you had on you were talking about bedazzling a hat, and I was like, this is my favorite comedian I've ever seen.
Oh, because I
that
put...
he bedazzles a hat anyway.
I put
Do you remember?
Studs on a Misfits hat. It was, kind of cool. But to call that bedazzling is, in itself, so fun. Okay, so this... I think I took, a comedy class once, and they said, tell us a story, and so this was my thing. My roommate has a bulldog. His name is Virgil. Virgil has since died. That wasn't part of the original joke. And Virgil, he's purebred, and so he's not real smart. You pay more for that, actually. But he would bite my feet while I slept. While I was sleeping, he would sit at the end of my bed, and if I moved my feet, he would bite them with his teeth. And I was like, this is going to be a problem to my roommate. And he said, well, the dog sense fear. And I was like, well, I guess I got to sleep with more confidence. And that was my first, That was my first joke. I guess I got to sleep with more confidence.
I would have quit if I already wrote that. I would have been like, that's it, I'm done.
Oh, that's nice.
Sleep with confidence, the Greg Behrendt story. That is so... sleep with confidence. That's fucking... That is magical.
Well,
that
the first... I think the first time you worked with Chris, when you came back from where... Maybe it was Austin, or I don't... Or mm-hmm. Right when he first moved here.
Yeah.
And you... I remember you coming, making a beeline to me, being like, you have to see this guy do stand-up.
Really?
You were going to love it, yes.
Oh,
and remember,
wow.
He brought you to my Christmas party?
Yeah. At where we watched Mac and Me on your
yes.
on your garage?
Yes.
Projected on the garage. That was Christmas?
No. It was that was a different party. That was summertime. Point being, the first time we all did a show together was the Little Room at Largo. Remember this? And everybody, we all did sets and everybody was having like the most incredible. It was one of those very transformative comedy nights where we were just like, oh, if I have to go up after this, I have to.
It was really
I have
fun.
To be as good. I have to, you know, like I have to. Well, that's me anyway. I have to beat everybody.
Yes.
In my mind.
Yes.
And that's when Chris Fairbanks, fucking during his set, flicked his shoe off, caught it, and answered it like a phone. And I was like.
And then I throw. I usually could throw it back.
Yeah, that's right.
I was immediately like, oh my God, Greg's right. He's the best thing that's ever happened.
Yep. Totally.
And you did a hayride bit.
The what?
You did your hay. Didn't
corn
you have
maze?
A hayride bit? Corn maze. Hayride. Come on. This was around Christmas, right?
Yeah, Mac and me.
I just don't know. You know, jack-o'-lanterns.
Sure.
Son of God.
Greg, what we're
corn
saying
maze.
Is-
I loved the. You know, I love your dad and Slash. That was one of my favorites.
Oh,
you know,
that was
maze.
One of my very
so
favorites. Yeah, this is true. That's what makes this awesome.
I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I've never said that in my set ever in my life.
It sounded so weird to me.
All I do is talk about myself, and I've never said that in sincerity. My father's a San Francisco fireman, and the other day, this would have been 1991, the other day he came up to me and goes, hey, I met your friend Slash last night. And I was like, what are you talking about? So apparently Slash... OD'd when they were Guns N' Roses played San Francisco, and they had to call 911 and be resuscitated. And so my father's San Francisco fireman had to break down the door, and he walks in and he sees Slash on the ground. They're out because of drugs, and then he looks at him and goes, "Huh, I wonder if Karen knows this guy."
And it was true.
And it was a true story.
Yeah.
I don't have to write.
Yeah.
I'll just ask.
Why did he say, I met your friend? So he revived him and then said, do you know Karen? And he said, yes. And then he went to you and said, hey, I met your friend Slash. Why otherwise?
No, I don't know fucking Slash.
Slash knows you.
No. Because that's how my dad talks all the time, where it's like, if someone ODs, that's my friend. That's who I am in the family.
Around that same time, my father left me a message on my phone machine, and he goes, hey, buddy, it's your dad. Hey, shit, I saw one of your friends died. Or, you know, one of those guys that you like. Anyway, I gotta go. So for fucking 3 days... is I couldn't get a hold of him. You know, if you called and they weren't there. And I couldn't get a hold of him. And I hunted through the paper. Basically the second guitar player from Def Leppard. The Def Leppard's rhythm guitar player drank himself to death. And I was in a fucking panic. Like it was somebody I really knew from high school or something.
Yeah,
not at all. Like, not even just... because he has a guitar? Yeah, it figures. Like, people just made connections back then. There was no internet where you could see, oh, you're friends with Andy Richter. Like, you know that.
Yeah. That's funny. I don't have an example. My dad's a great communicator. Very smart. Easy to read. Well-spoken.
Yeah.
But who isn't a great communicator that you have a bit about? When your parents come to tell you something in the doorway, get up there and figure it out.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I didn't know what you were pointing at. That was horrifying. I thought you were like, what you were
comedy
pointing
spot.
At a, okay, here we go.
This is what we,
Karen gave you a
little
bit.
Well, you get this thing outside of a car and it really moves, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy
this is
shit.
The way it
that
is
car was holding
be.
You back.
Oh, it
you
really was.
Tell it?
Yeah.
Kind of hurt. Like Karen said, let me tell you a little about myself. My parents, I was pretty young, but it's an early memory, but I'll never forget it. My parents, they walked in on me while masturbating. I'll never forget it. You know, me laying in bed looking up, there are my parents in the doorway. You know, like I said, they were masturbating. All right, that's pretty much it. It's a switcheroo, because usually you walk in the room and people are doing that. It's not the other way, where it's like you're doing your homework, and so it's like a fun...
Almost a reversal.
Because people are, you know, they're masturbating like, in rooms all
like
the time.
It's a comedic
they're
reversal
always masturbating
the situation.
In rooms. Other people are walking in and out right. of rooms. It's bound, but for it to be the other way around...
And then they come in together, like they're side by side.
Each individually masturbating.
I wonder if he's all right.
It's a visual joke.
Chris, are you all right?
And a lot of people don't want to think about their parents dual masturbating.
And by dual, you mean competitive masturbating.
No, by dual, I mean jerking off on horses going towards each other.
No, they're jousturbating?
Oh, my God.
Jousturbating.
Oh, yay, jousturbating. Jousturbating.
You guys, we did it.
God, why is At Midnight not a show anymore? Jousterbaiting.
That's fantastic.
Oh, man, who has a cigarette?
I feel this. I was wrong about comedy all along. It's terrific.
We got to get back
into
it.
I've never watched it from behind.
Greg, get back up there and tell the people about your that one thing, that
I
time.
I think I don't know if that I remember any.
I do.
I mean,
there's so many jokes you...
Can you remember
well,
all your
stuff? Well, the last time I saw... We did that set. We did a set in, like, Eagle Rock at some really beautiful, very hipster Spanish bar, and we both looked at each other and we're like, why are we still doing this?
I know.
It was just like a bunch of 27-year-olds in hoodies, and then me and Greg on the side, like, this is weird and sad.
Right.
We were the best ones. I always have to tell myself that after a night like that. You did that joke about Lars Ulrich and what he did with himself.
That's quite a bit. I mean, it's
well, I mean, can you self-edit?
I can tell it.
You must stand.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
I start it, actually, with a punchline. I learned from you. I tell people that I, you know, when the short of it is that when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have pornography, so I didn't really ever get a good look at a vagina until I got to one. You know, surprising. Because you can't imagine it before you get there, so you don't know what it looks like. And penises too. We never saw them, and when we did, usually they're in the movies. They were up. They were working. I never saw non-working penises in my life. I only ever saw the ones that were going in a lady that I was watching on a pornographic film. Because none of my friends walked around hard ever, and I think I only ever saw five real penises. You know, if you're a straight guy, five penises if you're lucky, if you're living right. You know, but I never saw like a fucking big one. You know what I mean? Like I said, not up, but at rest. So I went to Metallica, and it was Lars. The drum. So I'm trying to remember how. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. It's been a while. Also, has anyone heard this story yet? Okay. This is a true story. So I went to go see Metallica, and there's a part in the show where the drummer. You don't have to know the music at all to just be horrified by this story. Every word of this is fucking true. There's a part in the show where the drummer comes out, Lars, and waves to the audience to let everybody know he's also in the band. He just would like to get his... He'd like to get a little. He's been sitting in the back seat, you know, maybe on his phone a little bit, and then he wants to come out and go, hey, I'm Lars. There wasn't those phones then. And it was around the Black Album. So anyway, we had a buddy who knew a friend, and we got really good tickets, and this is when they had a big old ramp, like the U2 thing. And so Lars comes out, and he's making his journey to the front, and we're in the VIP section. We got VIP tickets. And he just stops in front of the VIP section, and he's only wearing shorts, just the black running shorts of the 80s. No, nothing else that I recall. And he comes by, and he waves, and we're all very excited. And this happens in just seconds. So he waves, and we're like, well, look, it's Lars. And then he reaches in his pants, and he pulls his dick out. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. He pulled it out. He pulled it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He had to use a tricep. He had to pull it. Most guys take it out. You take your dick out. You want to take your dick out? I'm going to take it out. Nobody has to actually bring it up and use. He had to pull on it so that it could clear the waistband At which point, he then let it go, and it just fell. At this point, it could do its own, just sort of flopped. It just dropped in front of him like a salmon, like a fresh... Right? And none of us are... Nobody's ready for that, because that wasn't on anyone's wish list at all. You don't even think about that. Like, even if that's what you wanted. Like, I'd love to see some cock, but I'm going to have to go somewhere afterwards. I can't. We're not going to get it at the show. Certainly not during the... And there it is. So he takes it out, and that's not it. So it's just there, and we're all confused. Everyone's... It's still the 90s. We're not that far. We're very confused. And then he did this thing, and I'm not really sure how he did it, because, again, he created a torque. He spun it. He spun his penis. He pushed down on it and went in a right counterclockwise or clockwise to you. Right? He spun it and then he fucking caught it and put it back in his pants. And then fucking ran off. Like where are the tickets that your fucking family has? Like these are for your friend. Like we're everyone and nobody. Here's how much we. Everybody asked each other if that had happened. He took it out, right? Why? There's a lot of why. And there are a lot of guys rethinking everything. Like, you're like, fuck, man. Because as a guy, there's just no way you don't sort of have yourself on a scale. Like, you're like, I don't know where mine is, but it's you put yourself somewhere kind, right? You're like, it's not huge. It's serviceable. You know, I mean, it's not. I got to work, but, you know. But that was fucking reevaluation. Like, I'm not even a... You know, like, I don't even know what kind of a person I am now. Like, if that's out there, why would I even take my pants off? And I was like, there are people... Hang on. I go, it's a very hard thought for any guy who has a penis, for whatever reason, just to know that there are dudes that when they take their penises out and they wrap their whole fist around them, there's more. Right? If I wrap my whole fist around mine, it's gone. You don't know what happened. Is this my penis or 50 cents? You don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying rapper 50 Cent had a tiny dick.
Say it again?
Is it my penis or 50 cents?
50 cents.
50 cents penis.
Yeah, 50 cents. Like change.
Possessive.
Like,
right.
Not 50 cents penis.
It's
not,
like gossip.
Not like a roll of coin. Like you're about
it's being mean.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. I have said Skittles, too. Just in my, you know, or Skittles. I usually tag it with Skittles. Like, I'll go 50 cents and then Skittles.
I like Skittles, too.
But it was really like a fucking huge penis. Like, it's like that's, fuck. When that's part of your day, like that... I just put on my underpants and I go. And for him, it's like, left or right, or do I fold it? You know.
I wonder
and then
why,
my whole body has to get in the sink because there's blood, you know.
I wonder why he helicoptered it once.
I think just because you can, and you don't get to show that to people much. And the people who, probably everyone who's seen it has seen it, right?
Yeah.
There's a whole new, like, how about this? Boom! You know.
What if you, like, what if you checked the VIP listing of what you get? It's like you get a picture and you get a laminate and then you get one helicopter that's actually on the list.
One rotation.
Apparently Steve-O from Jackass, a friend of mine said he takes his dick out at the end of his show, but they put a towel up. But he goes, but I was standing at the side of this, he was hanging out behind him like a tail. He tucks it so that he's like, I have a vagina. That's his joke. Oh, look, I have a vagina. And he's
that's
not allowed
hilarious.
To show you his penis. That's against the law. But if you see it from behind, you're like, well, now that should really be against the law because that's going out the back end.
That's why he's so brave.
Yeah.
He really is brave. There was a
It was nice to be able to bring a little bit of walking in the room to this. You know, a little bit where, like, some people are like, fuck, why? I love Karen and Chris. I would have gone Friday if I wanted to feel shitty.
I don't agree with the direction you're going right now.
No, not at all. All right. The human body's natural.
It is.
It's natural.
It is.
A friend of mine used to be Steve-O's sidekick. Like, if Steve-O was shooting flames out of a fart or whatever, my friend Ryan would be the one ollieing on a skateboard over him. And so he was in town, and we went to the Rainbow Room, which is where, like, rock and rollers hang out.
Yeah.
Your Lemmys, your Lars, all Rich's dicks.
And, have you been there? Have you gone by there? Have you ever been?
Yeah, I went there, and Steve-O was, like, eating. And then there was a pimp-and-ho party. Like, I thought it was a theme to a costume-type party at the Key Club, and so we walked to that. But it was real pimps that do it professionally and maybe have guns and stuff. And so, actual
is
hoes.
Is that, so it's like it was a convention then?
It was a convention for them. And then
right, because they were all there. Okay. Like, yeah. Or a trade show.
Yeah. And Steve-O, my friend Ryan had a camera, and we went with Steve-O. And Steve-O, just the first thing he did is pull out his agreeably big dick and peed right on the red carpet, and it was like splashing onto a pimp's nice shoes.
No!
He does not care. And then he took his shirt off, and he had some blood and Crip new tattoo that was like making fun of Bloods and Crips.
Steve-O.
Like,
yeah. What the fuck?
And they were like, let's kill him. But then someone's like, oh, he's on that MTV show. And then they're like, yay! And they lifted him up, and everyone loved him, and he got ushered in, and then we couldn't get in. It's like, oh, I can pee on your shoes.
That used to be, if you told people you'd been on MTV, that would save your ass, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, man, that's amazing.
I'm sorry, but Steve-O's undeniable. He has a tattoo of his own face on his back.
That's pretty great.
It's
amazing.
It's so fucking funny.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
And that's he's a nice guy.
He's
a super nice guy.
Beautiful teeth. Yeah. I love his
teeth. The only other good,
gorgeous man.
It is the best back. I think the other good back tattoo would be I'm with stupid with an arrow pointing down to your butthole.
That has so many levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a couple, actually.
That could be for so many different people. Oh, man. Wow. That's
remember my friend Dawn from San Francisco, Greg?
I do remember Dawn.
She used to drink with us a lot.
Yeah.
She would always talk about how she was going to get a tattoo of a little tiny guy in her outer labia that said, this is where the fun's at. Oh, fuck.
Like a little Monopoly man?
Yeah, almost like a ska guy, maybe, or something.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Come on in.
What jokey tattoo do you want to get that you would never get?
I think I got them. I think I look like I was searching. My tattoos go for a while. Like, there's some, like, whoa, really? You're like coffee when it's on fire? Like, what is that? Is that a baby heart? When did you get a baby heart?
Do you have a tattoo that says wear less fabric? Or is that just something
I have one that says dress better.
Oh, okay. But you made me wear tighter pants.
Dress better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've tattooed a lot of my wannabe identities on there and then not been able to live up to them. So that's been super
I think
smart.
That's what tattoos are all about.
Yeah. Get yourself
Want a tattoo of a little toaster. I'm not kidding. A little toaster down here. Shoot, and then buttery toast up on my shoulder like it flew across.
I have a flaming flaming toaster right here.
No, you don't.
And with toast.
Yeah. Girls. Meatballs.
Yeah, real actual.
I didn't.
Yeah, I got that. I did that when I had a special when I was doing an HBO thing early on. And I got a tattoo
I haven't seen you as
didn't
much.
Make me any harder. Nobody felt anything. Yeah.
And I've never seen you with your shirt off, so I didn't know that.
Yeah, let's change that. Change that now.
People always used to say, man, you're going to really regret, like when you get older, you're going to regret those tattoos. And I was like, if I'm running around in my 80s without my shirt on, tattoos are the least of my worries. Those aren't my worries. That's not what we're worried about. So where'd you get all that confidence at 80, man? It's fuck, I want some of that.
That's not my concern. It's these giant nipple gauges.
I got plates here. I got plates here. That's not where you're supposed to get the plates.
That's
not where the plates go. No, the expander's not supposed to go there. I got them in the wrong place.
So they ended up just looking like two short jump ropes? That's awful.
I put a bar through my butthole. Wrong. That's the wrong place for that. The bull ring, but through my butthole.
You didn't ask one other person?
Just makes things really messy.
I got those tribal gold neck rings that are long. I got those up my butt. Like a Thanksgiving cornucopia. This kind of happened when you and I. And I'm a stupid.
I just want to give you topics, and then you make comedy, and that's how it works.
And that's podcasting.
Oh my God.
Topics.
Oh shit.
Fuck.
God, that would have been a great place to end this.
How much longer we have? Are we under?
Does anybody...
They give you a lot of time to podcast here. Like, probably more than a podcast should be. You know what I mean? Like, we're under 45 minutes? Okay.
What if this was
this is almost as long as Blade Runner.
What if it was
Oh, my God. You probably didn't because you were here this weekend. I'm still at Blade Runner. That's how long
you said.
Fuck, is it long? Have you seen it?
But I hear it's good.
It is good, but just pack a fucking lunch or it's long. And there's parts of it where you go, let's not go to this character again. Nope, nope. Okay, let's come. Anyway, well, that's my review.
I don't want to see it now.
It's good. I loved it. I did love it. But it is that thing, like, you're like, wow, man, we have been here for... I wonder if we go back, do we get back to Earth? Because I don't know where we are. I'm lost. And I don't want Jared Leto to come with us.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want him to go with me anywhere. And I want him to spend more than 30 seconds on Mars. Do you guys... I feel like it will be...
My, my two favorite people right here. Right here. That's all you need. That's all you need. That is all you need right there. If I had, been in... I should have just gone into management.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That would have been fucking awesome.
You and Raph.
I'm enthusiastic. I can get people excited.
You are you're a fan.
I'm a fan.
True fan.
In all seriousness, Karen and I have always talked about how you, you're an unsolicited champion of each of us.
Yeah.
You and we didn't know that about each other, and I think you probably do that all the time for people.
Only not that many. I mean, Dave was a mistake, but no, I love Dave. I love Dave. I'm not kidding.
I love Dave.
Karen, oh. Abe, I love Dave.
I used to laugh when my parents fought too.
Yeah,
very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
Yay, Thanksgiving, so fun.
We play, nobody hit anyone.
It's how we play our game.
Greg, you, I think we've talked about this before, but you are the reason that I started recording music, because you insisted that I do it. And the first time I did it, which was with you, thank you. I wasn't saying that, but then, okay.
No.
But Greg was like, it was when I had like four songs and you were like, you have to record them. You have to. And I was like, I don't want to intrude. It was kind of my mentality of like, I don't want to put this on anybody. And you're like, no, we're doing it. And then you actually went with me to a studio with Matchbox.
With Paul. Paul Doucette. That's all right. Paul Doucette.
Paul Doucette is this amazing drummer. Well, amazing musician all around.
Yep.
Who basically then kind of like put out all of the music to all of my songs and made them sound like real songs. And then we recorded them.
They were real songs.
Oh, wow.
That's why I like them. They were real songs. They weren't like, I was just telling my buddy Kane. I have a buddy who's a comic. His name's Kane Holloway. What do you do with that fucking name?
Yeah.
He's already has to live up to his fucking name. It's Kane Holloway.
He's not a wrestler?
You fight multiple men on...
Or a former skateboarder.
Yeah. Box people on a loading dock for a living.
Yeah.
Careful, yes. Holloway's down there and he's pissed off.
Yeah. He's very funny. But, I don't remember what we were talking about.
Music. Music. She recorded music and then
telegraph your punches. So those songs, they creep up on you because you're like, this is a really pretty sad song. And then you're like, oh my God, it's about Tina Fey. It's so fucking... And the time mean and funny. And the thing about about the grid going down, like I was like, they're just like, you have that thing that's like super unusual because it's like, it's as pithy as somebody who wants to be smart and pithy, but funnier than people that are funny. So I loved it.
I got it at JCPenney.
Fuck you. Fuck that.
Fuck
see what a dick
us.
She is? Oh, okay,
so
Mom.
Stupid.
Oh, this new thing?
But anyway, thank you. I don't know if I ever properly thanked you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a difficult process for me.
I don't recall either of you ever encouraging me in my music.
You know what?
Let's
hear some now.
Yeah,
we'd
love to.
Will you play Mouth Trumpet for us?
Rig up.
Get
all
up.
I can do. I don't even like reggae, but I can't not. Holding up a cartoon lion. $3.
I would buy a ticket for that show. Your one man version.
Well,
yeah,
it's an hour and a half. It's an hour and a half long.
Oh. What are some other songs we would hear at that show?
Lion, majestic. Majestic Lion. That's one of the other songs.
That's good.
Short, sweet.
Yep.
Two words.
Very relevant to today's issues.
I mean, really.
Kind of.
Wait, was there a mishap at a zoo or something?
Nope.
Okay. Oh, just we should be what Karen's saying.
You remember when we were shooting cows? You remember when that cow? Remember when that cow got shot in San Diego 25 times? Remember there was that cow? Does anyone remember this? There was a cow that got away and it got out on the highway and the cops shot it like 25 times.
No.
Do you remember this?
What?
Yeah. Nobody remembers the fucking cow they shot to pieces off the fucking highway in San Diego.
Jesus, that is not Irie at all.
Why did they?
Also, Greg, the way you introduced that first, you go, mellow. Remember when we shot that cow? It sounded like, remember in San Francisco, we used to love to go shoot cows.
As a group, as a generation, do you remember when we would shoot cows?
Yeah.
Way beyond.
It was like smoking cloves, shooting cows.
Because they don't know, they're not so stupid, they don't know to die yet. Like, they're literally like, what's happening? Like, boom, like the 30 times, like, it's a, fuck, I'm a cow.
In retrospect, do you know why they murdered this cow?
It was headed into traffic. I think I don't remember it completely, but they felt it necessary to take it down now, and they shot the shit out of it. And
just real quick, could this have been a dream?
I'm not going to rule it out, but I do think. I'm not going to rule it out. I don't know that anything I'm saying is from my real life or the one I live in my dream life, which is the other side of this. I'm not sure which one I'm in, and I don't really care. As I'm not doing that great, neither of them, but they're fun to bounce back in.
And then you knowingly point to no one off stage. Yeah, buddy. That's right. You heard me. Secret inside joke to no one.
That's you. People don't think about the shit they could do all the time to make themselves just seem fucking, like, better or cooler or, like, all right.
Yeah.
Do that during a fight with somebody. I don't fucking give a shit. That's not what I...
I think I've done that a few times, like nodded at someone that isn't there, just so everyone goes.
Hang on, wait a second. I just got to finish this fight. I know it's just you and me, but there's somebody.
But what were we doing? No, I'll talk to you later. Empty. You and one other person in a room.
One other person. That's
no
it.
One.
Do that thing like
in a forest. You're in a forest camping, no campers even, just you and someone else. You're on a glacier, you're hiking with one other person, you get in a fight about length of rope, and then you're like, well, you brought the rope. Hey, what's up? You brought the fucking rope. I bring the carabiners. He's like, what? It's Green Boots, the mile marker, dead man. Are someone playing coconuts? Do you hear that?
I think that was my laugh. That was my tropical Margaritaville laugh. I save it for when I'm really enjoying myself.
When I laugh, it sounds like someone tripping with their flip-flop.
That's fucking...
You know what I mean, man?
Yeah. A flip-flop trip is fucking hard, man, because you fold that thing over and it shoots you, you're fucked, man. Yeah. Flip-flop, that's a hard way to go.
Thanks for backing me up, buddy.
Just telling you, man. I fall down. Sometimes I don't have flip flops on.
I
feel like they're flip flops. They're not flip flops. They're regular shoes.
I hate flip flops, man. I hate them. Yep. They always get caught up or turned or they somehow. I can't believe everyone just goes around living life wearing them.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I got these on. I'm Laird Hamilton. That never happens. You're not Laird Hamilton. No one is. Just Laird.
Anybody? Just him.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not big wave surfing fans here?
Yeah. What about paddleboarding? Big wave
paddleboarding. I'm dressed like a surf coach from an Annette Funicello movie.
Well,
all right, guys,
I like
I'm going to really surf it up.
I called Laird Hamilton.
And 10.
I interviewed him once, and I called him Lance Burkhart as a joke, because that's his character from, as you all know, North Shore. he's like a villain surfer in it, and he didn't. He's like, who's that? And I'm like, well, they called you that for probably a month and a half of production, right? I mean, he didn't. Maybe afterwards, they were saying that name to his face.
Is he nice?
Yeah. Very nice. He was very nice.
That was Hollywood for no.
He was very nice. He's very intimidating. He's a huge.
You guys know what we're talking about?
Yeah, he's just a. He's a water.
Laird Hamilton.
He's a surfing.
He's
man.
In American Express commercials with his volleyball player
Everyone
wife.
Everyone in here.
He was
surfs.
In The Descendants. He's
Everyone.
He's the guy that. Yeah, he's in the... He's
That's
in
George
the,
Clooney.
Yeah, he's in it. Oh, is that right? Okay. I get those guys mixed up. No, he plays the neighbor's husband or something. Anyway, he's handsome.
And, yeah, he is.
He invented big wave surfing. And
he's married to Olympic gold medalist women's volleyball player.
Olga Corbett.
Gabrielle yeah. Reese.
Reese. Yep. Thank you. Yep. Of the Reese chocolate family. anyway, at the end of the segment, we thought it would be a nice way to close it if he paddleboarded away from where we were interviewing him on the beach in Malibu, just off into the... And he paddled, and we shot it like so we could speed it up later. I'm not a camera. I am a sound man, though, and these are working great. And he just fucking paddled until he became a tiny person and disappeared. He yeah. paddled off
Hilarious.
Into the ocean, and he was gone. And I'm like, did he just slowly die? He was like watching a sunset, but it yeah. was a man.
That's yeah. the best joke of all time.
And he never
came back.
He was like,
oh, back. Is this the last shot? Okay, yeah. I get the bit. And then he just bails.
He just fucking yeah. goes.
He ocean bails
He's in the
on
fucking
you.
Middle of the ocean. Yeah, he's got to yeah. get back after that joke, but that's not our worry.
He's out in the middle of the ocean.
He invented that. He invented fucking the paddle boarding.
No,
that
yeah, he's not
thing.
Afraid yeah. of it.
I think it is kind of yeah, his yeah, thing.
Yeah. It's
I
his mean, jam.
I mean, I think the Hawaiians did it originally when they were, but then we take it. White
yeah,
people,
yeah,
white
yeah.
people, we take it and we trade it. We did it.
Yeah, give you a smallpox blanket.
I got really. We took it to the bad place.
No, yeah. we got political. Is what
it's
we
so
did.
So political Fuck. On this show. Sorry, yeah. deal with it.
Yeah. yeah. Sorry if you don't like to hear
it. Kneel if you don't like it.
Yeah. Not during gameplay. We know you're just running the clock, right? I do yeah. a lot of football jokes.
Oh, is that true?
You have a lot
Please
of those.
Please don't do them on this podcast.
I follow foot. You I know I'm a stick and ball guy.
We... I think somebody must be like, please get off the stage, right?
We have I think no that third light up there, that thing, the fire that they've lit up there, I think that's the, right. that might be the get off fire. That is, yeah.
It's one of the seven wonders of the world.
I feel like Trump's eyeballs during the eclipse right now because I won't stop staring at those lights, wanting them to tell me something. Like,
that moment in history,
mm-hmm.
when he looked at the fucking eclipse... I was just like, it's over.
That was the peak. That was
any hope anyone had for anything. It was just like, this is fucking over mm-hmm. for humanity.
That was the top of the roller coaster.
He's the president, and he was just like, everyone's like, you can't look directly. He's the fucking dumbest person.
Like he was looking at the sun as if to say, no, you're a loser. I'm above the power of the sun.
That's... Imagine the freedom that he wants to take from you, but the freedom he has in that he only takes a little bit of information. He doesn't. He never has. Fuck, I got to read that thing tonight. He never says, "I got to read that thing tonight," mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. "I need to be briefed on this." He just uses whatever the handful of words he knows, and then just says them, and then just fucking moves along like he just. Let's fucking get rid of that. I don't like it. Oh, yeah. Well, he can go, fuck him. You want to fight? Let's fucking fight. I'll write it down. I don't give a shit. What am I doing now? I don't fucking care. I'm the president. I can do whatever I fucking... Kneel. Don't kneel. I don't like it. Anthem. I like the Democrats. Not anymore. I don't care. I'm the fucking president.
I'm free. That would be freedom yes, to just yeah. not have to have no consequences over what your brain.
The only thing that's cool is that if by breaking the fourth wall, maybe we'll have a president that is a good person, but is fucking funny, like a guy that like pretends he can't find the fucking podium and shit and swears for no reason and pulls his pants down. It's like just like your uncle.
Greg, are you running like, for president? Is this you announcing
just a good fucking
your
plan.
Candidacy? Is this it?
Comes out and goes, what's up, bitch? I'm kidding. I'm the president. We gotta, I know. We gotta. No, I gotta take it all serious. Remember that last guy? He was mean. I'm not mean. Let's turn some of that Obama shit back on. Let's turn those fucking flip those switches back on.
Now watch
regulate,
me.
Regulate.
And then he just does a Pratt fall down some stairs comedically.
Awesome. Yeah.
Ah, oh, God.
Fucking gets on a paddleboard and just... There he goes. There goes the president.
I guess he just addressed the union.
Yeah. Do you think this morning when Mike Pence walked out of the Colts game, he went, harumph. I've never.
Oh, yeah. But he went there just to do that.
He
right?
went there
all
to,
the teams
to be
someone
upset.
Kneeling during... Yeah.
You know what I think he did is he slowly peeled his face off. He, like, as he got into his black SUV, he was like, lizard face. He's just... You look in that man's face, and you're like, there is no human being inside of there. Mm-hmm. It is fucking frightening.
Yeah, I used to think it about, like, Willem Dafoe or Tilda Swinton, but it's now...
It's a new level.
At least I like them. You know?
Yeah, that's
he
right.
He's a cyborg lizard man.
I wish he'd gone the other way.
He's a robot lizard.
Gills and batteries. He's fucking...
I wish he'd gone the other way and stood up taller, like got on a table. I see you fucking kneeling, and I'm fucking double standing. Yeah, how about that? I'm double standing,
just
fucking vice president, who nobody knows or cares about anyway. And I explain to you that I'm the vice president.
Also, watch The Handmaid's Tale. What if he was like, everything that Mike Pence was about, this was purely just like a street performance for The Handmaid's Tale. It's just grassroots publicity. Yeah. Where it's just like, oh my God, the vice president wants to take away my uterus. And it's like, actually, that was for The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Netflix.
7 p.m. on Thursday.
That was just a script. Sorry, that was just a script. It's a TV thing. It's actually about the opposite. No.
It is great promotion.
And he went, mother, we're going. And he took his wife.
It's weird.
He calls mother. But he's cool. We're open to it.
He's super fine with it.
Just don't regulate other people.
It's weird that they keep promoting that show after it's concluded.
The Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah.
You mean by taking away our rights?
Yeah. They keep doing it.
They just keep doing it.
We watched it. We liked it.
Okay,
enough already.
That's their version of merch. Yeah, like from the show. No, it's just like from the show.
This rage
it's
you
funny.
Feel
it's like
for
you don't
having
have rights.
Your,
like, but,
your birth control it, taken away? That's
right,
merch.
You guys like the show. We thought, oh, you like this? You must love this.
My dad.
Yeah, okay, fine. No Planned Parenthood. That's season 3.
Did you know that the fucking those hats that Trump said, they're $45 on a website that he sold?
$45.
Did you know that the valet parking at this hotel is also $45?
Do you know that this is one of my favorite things my sister told me?
Does it cost $45? Lists the things that cost
$45. Things that cost $45.
Okay.
No, this was, my sister just told me recently, my dad, who is obviously a retired fireman and has friends in his immediate friendship group, which is a very, very tight group of men, that are like Trump Republicans, and they met somewhere. I'm sure they were like golfing, and he showed up, and one of his friends was wearing a Make America Great Again hat, and he took it off his head and said, "That's disrespectful," and slapped it into his hand.
Yeah, but
my dad is like the one 70-year-old white man in America that's doing stuff like that. But I was like, thank fucking God, because I told him to listen to the lyrics of People Are People by Depeche Mode over and over in 1982, and it finally fucking got through to him.
Yeah.
Hard work.
If you want to imagine,
paid off.
Your father is so awesome, and he looks like if Ron Howard dreamt of what a fireman would be. He's better than anything. Like he goes, "Oh my God, the white mustache thing. He's fucking huge.
He does. He is.
Yeah.
You know what he Irish looks like? Heart. He looks like the dad, the woman's dad from Fargo. That is then won't that, let the,
right.
the police in it.
That's,
when
yes,
I saw
does.
Fargo, I was like. My fucking dad's in a Coen Brothers movie? This is awesome.
Yeah, your friends called up and said they want me to be in a fucking movie. I was like, all right, I'll be in a movie. All your friends,
I'm retired. I got nothing else to do but play Pedro. I'll be in your movie, Coen Brothers. Anyway, guys.
I love it. Any, but...
Amira told me to tell you. Amira's my wife, and we actually started this thing called You're Living All Over Me, and it's just we get together every week and go, do we still want to be married? But it's fun. And she said, I want to be on Karen's podcast because when I moved here and I was 19, a couple moved in below us, and then the woman died when he was cleaning his gun. And then 2 weeks later, a new lady moved in.
Ooh.
Yeah. And she goes, I've now told the story, but she tells it much, much, much more compelling.
I was like, that doesn't fit with our, I have it about me.
Yeah.
Actually, oddly, I think that'd be better on Karen's other podcast.
That
sounds like a murder took place.
The whole time, I thought you were somebody else. Okay.
Really?
Yeah,
and
no, she just
And he got away with it?
He did. cleaning his gun.
Was she there when the gun went off? Was she in her apartment?
She was in the apartment, yeah. She received the bullet.
No. Amira. Oh,
she was, no, she
with
was there.
Arms.
She was there, but they didn't hear. She was, like, they were there.
She received the bullet? She actually had to sign for it. It was COD. It was very... It was one of the strangest murders ever in Hawaii.
Who's supposed to sign for this? All right, but I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I mean, I don't like bullets, but okay. I mean...
My roommate's not here, but if you're trying to murder him, I guess I'll go...
It seems silly to just send the one. Don't they come in sixes? Yeah. No, I don't... I didn't want to be sexist. I didn't know if that's a... I don't know. I'm not sure what my handshakes are supposed to be anymore. Yeah. So anyway, that's... that is.
Wow, that's nuts.
It may be... I was like, have you listened to her podcast? I think they talk about some pretty big murders, but okay. If you have that sort of vague, unsolved one, I'm sure they'd love to hear about it.
Oh, we do that all the time.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't really know that many. I mean, I've lived a fucking healthy long time, and nobody I know has been murdered.
You're very lucky, man.
I just don't have that, you know, I need to know more people.
That's called entitlement.
Yeah. Entitlement. That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, people have quietly disappeared.
you know, scores of them. Your backyard.
Yeah.
How many people?
That's right. If you don't know anyone that's been murdered, you're the murderer. That's the classic. Yeah. That's the rule.
I call it assisting.
Yeah.
I assist you to that next place.
Yeah. Just a bullet delivery.
I'm
going
to be there really soon. I just need to get a few more people to go. And then I get to go. Okay, dark, too dark.
I mean,
or just unfunny and less interesting.
There's so many options.
Yeah.
Should we wrap it down?
That's not how they say that.
So what?
Wrap it up.
Get up there and do your final bit. Let's see the closer. Come on.
The closer. Yeah.
Closers.
Yeah.
Closers. Do your worst closer.
I don't
do
even...
the closer you hate the most. Do the closer nobody likes.
I don't
the
even
one,
do
the one
it.
You can't close on. The one you depended on and can't close on.
Yep.
And you finished.
After
and usually for me it ends with a and that's what happened. And fucking nothing. And you're like
just get louder and louder as it goes.
Yeah. Okay, well, good night.
I just want to
close it. Close it.
Yeah. Come on.
Stand up and do stand up.
Yeah. Do a...
No matter how young you get with your man making a child, I will not give more. I'm
come
a baby.
On, do it.
All right, I'll do it. Yeah. Just
yes.
Keep that bottle in your mouth.
Yes.
I don't...
People like it.
It's not... I don't know.
What would your ideal funeral be like?
Kind of like this, actually. What I get? Actually, when I die, I want to cremate my legs, just my legs, set those aside for a minute, and then I'm going to stuff my remaining torso so it's on a spring mechanism. So the casket will rotate, go out towards the audience. There'll be an audience bigger than this. And then I'll pop up and holding a saxophone, of course. That's why I just have my arms like this. I'll be holding a saxophone, and it's going to blast out the most beautiful jazz, like, you know, that's more of a trumpet, but you know what a saxophone sounds like. It'll be a fucking, and everyone's just, and all of sunglasses going like, oh, yeah, along with sax me, and birds will fly out, and the smoke will be coming out, dry ice or smoke machine. I don't know. I haven't bought any of this stuff. I'm not even sick, but it will. Everyone's going to be like this, wow. And then right then I'm going to launch my leg remains out of a T-shirt can and just into everyone's open mouth, just... And they'll be like, and be like, is that talcum powder? And I'll be like, well, you're at a funeral. It's powdered light. You knew that. Why did you not? Well, how would I say that? There's holes in my. I don't know how I'm talking now. I can't remember how it ends, but that's my funeral, and that's it's hard to end a comedy set. God, I got so sweaty and scared when you made me do that. Did you
get
see?
Get up,
you just...
do it again, do it some more, do it in a different voice.
I've been planning me funerals.
Yeah. Old-timey English bits.
Oh, God. We all love a good Australian
I'm going to launch my leg remains out of a T-shirt cannon. If I, like, type that, I'd be done for the day. I'd be like, that?
That's all you need.
What more do you want from me? No one has ever said that, nor will they ever. Look what I said. That's what was in my head. And then I thought to say that to people. I didn't keep that inside. I said
You have a million lines like that you're the best.
No, yeah.
I want you to do. Will you please do stand up?
I don't know. In life? Yes.
Yes, please. Yes. He's so good at it and influence on me and on Karen, too, I know. And
no, I kind of blocked it out. Everything
human I influence. Learned. She's blocked out the human influence part. She doesn't recognize it, but I will.
Yep.
She talks about it when you're not around. We both think you're great.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you're here.
I'm going to send you a card.
Yeah.
Oh, it's easier for me.
She does it better.
I get that.
She does it better with cards.
I love a correspondence.
Right? And I'll sign it.
Oh, I love that, too. Yeah.
Wait, what if we all get an office job?
Like every dad in the country. And dad. Okay. Did you want me to? I should say something? Okay, it's your dad. They know it is, though, right? Did you write your name? I did for a while. I wrote my name to my kids. Greg. Why? You should try dad.
Who's this guy?
Yeah. Why don't you try dad? I'm not ready for dad yet.
You don't
I feel like
commit?
They're not ready for dad.
Yeah.
Not ready for dad. 9 o'clock.
Coming to... Oh, man, that would have been funny.
That would have been amazing.
What do we do with rusty half-used batteries? Put them in the mics. We got a festival to fucking run.
What if there's somebody sitting in the back of the room?
Bucket?
There's somebody actually jamming the mics in the back. They're like, you can't say
just
that.
Just a guy with an eye patch and a top hat pulling the... Okay, thank you. We've been given the signal to quit podcasting permanently, and... no, fuck. This was great.
What a way to go out.
This would be kind of a fun festival if you brought your podcast here to be judged. And at the end, you got to go forward with more podcasts or you had to be done.
Yes.
Like the crowd goes, no. Actually, no.
No. Yeah.
Really? Pod Save America? No, we got it, guys. No.
We get it.
Blah, blah, blah. I like those guys.
I like that, though. It's almost like a beauty contest. It's not just the podcasting, but then you have to come back and sing.
Yep.
Like at one point.
Answer questions.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
You'd have to know some stuff.
Yeah, you'd have to.
And then, of course, bathing suit.
Yeah, of course, be in front of everyone in a bikini. That's how you close the show.
There's a guy back there going, I keep turning their mics off. Like, I turn them off, but then they go, I don't want to be the guy that keeps going without being amplified.
Yeah, it's the sheer power of riffing that's making these
people that talk about doing comedy, they do not know when it ends.
Yeah. They don't feel the room going, please let us leave.
We don't know. We're used to, we go to a destination. I always have it mapped it out strategically, so it's exactly 59 minutes, and usually we'd be pulling up to your house.
Did you guys
now.
Ever forget anybody?
Oh, like we were supposed to pick them up and we didn't
make it? We've been late.
We've been real late.
Yeah.
Yeah, the airport is always...
It's not good and...
It's like 40 minutes. No, it's like 4 hours.
It's so long. And then there's people who, say they had a whole week in a club in Boston.
Yeah.
And then we were like, well, let us pick you up. And then so they're done with a week of comedy.
Right.
And they're just standing
Travel
at LA.
Travel from another time zone.
Bumming out.
Yeah.
And then they have to stand with their bag for an
it's
extra
30 o'clock.
Minutes to then get into my Honda Fit filled with animal hair and be like, what's up, America? Yeah. We were like, we have to stop doing this.
Yeah, it was dangerous. Such a great idea, though.
I mean, conceptually amazing.
What a good concept.
But the execution was a piece of shit.
It was... And dangerous. So we've been safe tonight.
Safe and sane.
Yeah.
That's how we are now.
You guys have been great. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? You guys have been watching it.
All of this is true.
Greg,
do you have any final plugs or just anything you'd like to tell the people?
Yeah.
Maybe a final bit. Just one quick
last... I don't think I have a great one.
There's an interesting tattoo
what do you
down
do?
On his
the thing. They're all labored, and then I'm surprised by my own stupidity at the end, or somebody else's penis. Like there's usually, we all think about sometimes, like, oh, there's somebody else's.
Yeah, yeah. Why is it in a jar on the mantle?
I used
That's
to say...
something
I'll say... one time I was with a... I'll tell the... I was...
yes. Finally.
Here's
going to keep doing this long after you leave.
Yes.
All we need are hot mics and each other.
Yeah. And this one, by the way, keep those expectations super low. This is vintage. This is like 2002, I think. I would say, you know, just be honest when you're fucking somebody. Just if you're going to talk, just say what's actually happening. Hello? Okay. I mean, let me see, get through it. Don't, you know, like, just be honest. Because if you say something that isn't real, you know, like if you're trying to be too complex. Like I was having sex with this girl, and I put myself in, and I mean, she helped, but she was like, oh, my God, you're so huge. And I was like, well, fuck, then somebody else is in there. Because I'm a medium at best, you know what I mean? Like, I'll try. I got a lot of hustle, but I'm not fucking huge. Let's not play that game. I'm a special teams guy all the way. I am not a... I'll put a hit on you, but I got to fucking just do what I can to make the squad.
Nice.
Greg Barron, everyone.
Greg Barron's album, Dicking Around, is available on iTunes. All dick jokes. 2 hours of dick jokes.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
D-Y-N.
A-R.
Okay.
Did someone hot? Someone did it. That was great. Thank you, you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. That was really fun.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.